Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, hot takes? Seriously? It's so annoying.
Smoking hot.
It's not a hot take. It's an opinion.
He has lit the roof on fire.
You know, sex sells. This is what gets headlines. The juicy, the car wrecks and the train wrecks and the rubber necking. I do not respond to anyone who comes at me with the, what's your hot take?
Uh-oh, it's on fire.
Nope. Negative, Ghost Rider. Such a great world we live in. America.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. So hot. So take off all your clothes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Am I the only one who has social media pet peeves? Things that I absolutely will not respond to on social media or really any other time. In fact, I'm likely to hang up on you if you come at me with what's your hot take or hey, that's a great take. Just that, I don't know why it annoys me so much. Dave doesn't use social media as much as I do. I think personally you don't, right? But you do now use it for the show, right?
Yeah, I use it for the show.
You're 17 kids living at your house. So you, I mean, somebody must use social media at your house.
Oh, yeah, all my kids, I mean, they're addicted to it just like everybody else. All my 17 kids, you know.
What is the age at which you will allow your children to have phones and social media?
So all of my kids already have phones and social
media.
You
have a 10-month-old.
All right, well, not the little guy.
Okay. Let's just clarify. So how old are the others?
11, 13, and 19.
So the 11-year-old is allowed to have a phone and be on social media? Ooh, you're braver than me. I would be scared of having my 11-year-old kid on social media or my 13-year-old. Yikes. Do you monitor these accounts?
I do, and there's some limitations to what she can see and do and, you know, those things. But, you know, we allow her to have them, though, yeah.
What social media accounts does an 11-year-old have?
The usual ones, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat.
Snapchat.
All things that I barely understand how to use, but yeah.
Yes. Do you have Snapchat? Let's be Snap friends.
No, I don't have Snapchat.
Oh, okay. I only have Snapchat with family and friends because I fear what might happen if I opened up my Snapchat to allow people who don't know me to send me pictures. I feel like that's a really bad idea. I mean, call me crazy. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I kind of feel like that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm not really into the social media thing. I use it. I have it. You know, it's Twitter's good. I like Twitter in terms of, you know, sports. Yeah, I mean, you get... I don't know if I, all right, like it's not the right word.
Twitter's good.
It's
Twitter's
tolerable.
Okay.
No, it is a great companion for sports. I will give you that. I do not watch sports generally without tweeting. Now, part of that is because if I tweet it, I'll remember it. And, you know, and so that helps me to keep things organized. But also, it's a fun conversation to have, football Twitter or basketball Twitter. However, I do have pet peeves. For instance, if you drop an LOL on me, you'll be lucky if I even acknowledge your existence. I hate LOL. I can't stand it. It irks me to no end. So people do it, and then they never hear from me. And I also can't stand the hot take thing. Like the just, and also, here's the other thing. Now, I don't make predictions, but I obviously comment on sports news and events in the moment. When you've got that, isn't there an account out there called Freezing Cold Takes? Or you have people that come back and say, oh, this was a great take. Well, the sports landscape changes every 5 seconds. And so something you're commenting on 5 minutes ago or 5 weeks ago is obviously not always going to be applicable down the road. And so that annoys me too. Like, I mean, think about the Patriots struggling at the beginning of the football season. They lost on the road at Jacksonville and Detroit. Two teams that, what, combined for 7 wins, maybe? And they end up as Super Bowl champs. So when you're criticizing the Patriots in the moment, in the month of September, it's not a freezing cold take when they end up winning the Super Bowl. So that really annoys me, too. So Twitter is one of those, and Facebook, where you can take something easily out of context because it's 280 characters and then plop it into whatever context you would like it to be. So that part bothers me. So I think I do have more rules for social media. I don't call people names. I try not to insult people. Sometimes I know my biting sarcasm may come across that way, but I tend to fight fire with humor. But I'm different. I don't swear on social media. If you swear at me on social media or if you send me a tweet with a swear word or inappropriate language, I will warn you once, fair warning, and then I block you. Even if you're not swearing at me, I just don't want that on my feed. But I'm different. We've got our resident 21-year-old here. And so I would like to know if you have any pet peeves or faux pas on social media because you're big into it. In fact, Brian thought it would be a good idea for us to start what was an Instagram account for the show.
Yeah, that was one of my brilliant ideas.
No, it is a brilliant idea. I just don't have time to do it. But maybe one of these days, we need to add another person on the show. You could be our social media coordinator.
Yeah, I'm definitely at the right age range for that.
Because Chris can't spell. I don't know what you're talking about. Age has nothing to do with it. I'm on social media, and I do pretty well, Brian.
Yeah,
careful
no.
what you say about age.
Yeah, I've gotten in that trouble with you before.
Yes,
but
you have.
I think
Brian called me old on the air. You said I was from a previous era. Let's just be you said I was from a previous era.
No, it was a different era, not okay. Previous.
Oh,
different.
Well, okay. Era is the whole word that we're focused on there. Dave's laughing so hard, he's crying.
Some would call it the better era.
I would call it the better era. I'm smart enough to know not to tell someone that you come from a previous era when you want that person to give you a job. I'm just teasing. So, okay, so social media, you think you're all that. Do you have any faux pas or pet peeves about your social media?
I don't like how people try to, like, make their life look better than it actually is on. So they hide behind it like this invisible curtain on social media as if their life is perfect and nothing else is going on in their actual fairy life. I also can't stand
your fairy life.
I also can't stand the people on social media who like tweet at players and go sign here, do that. Like they're not. Bryce Harper is not going to read your tweet that says sign with the Yankees and go, you know what? He's got a point. You know what? John from Staten Island has a point. I should sign with the Yankees.
Or you know what's even worse? I agree with that totally. In fact, most of the time when I'm talking about athletes, I don't include their Twitter handle. I don't need them to see it. Every now and then I'm speaking to someone, but I don't need them to see it. You know what really bothers me is when fans have the nerve to tweet at an athlete and tell him, the athlete, that he ruined their fantasy football or fantasy baseball weekend. Are you kidding me? Like, because the athlete should really care about that?
Yeah, as if Todd Gurley goes, oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, seriously. Not just that, but it's fantasy. It's not real. So, yes, very often, I will agree with you, very often people can paint whatever picture they like. Here's what I often say about Facebook. Everything's perfect. Twitter, everything sucks. Like, those are the two. you have the light side and the dark side on social media.
You always get the guy on Facebook. Like, you can write on Facebook, hanging out with my dog on this beautiful July night. And someone's got to comment on the post and be like, what about cats? You don't like cats? And then there's always an argument on Facebook. No one can ever have a nice day.
I feel like we've opened Brian up to like a whole new world of social media criticism. You could be a social media critic. That's
it's just too involved in my life. It's, you know, being 21 years old, it's like what you live for. It's unfortunate. It's not what I live for, but it's what everyone else lives for.
That definitely is unfortunate if that's what you live for. There is a whole new world out there, Brian.
Take it down and up.
And stop calling people older than you from previous eras.
My apologies.
No, it's whatever. I don't care. I wouldn't go back to your age if somebody paid me. I already did most of the crappy stuff when it comes to my career. I mean, it takes a while to get to the point where you're comfortable in your career, especially as a female in this business. And I would not go back and start over where you are. Not to mention, you may not feel this way now. At some point, you likely will. When you are in your 20s, typically you're kind of dumb, like that mountain lion that attacked a person and ended up paying for it. I mean, you realize that you make a lot of stupid mistakes.
So I'm the mountain lion in this analogy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that you don't get strangled, at least not during our show, because that...
so later on today.
That would stink. Yeah, no, we don't really want to eulogize you on the show. I was dumb. I mean, I was really insecure and I was dumb as a 20-something, and so I wouldn't go back to that. Now I've kind of lived through that and survived it, and I like who I am, despite the fact that I am from a previous era. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I just, as a side note, don't care if you like my pet peeves on social media. Sorry, man. I mean, they're my pet peeves, not yours. I'm not changing them because you don't like them. I can't remember the last time I changed anything because social media told me to. In fact, I'm the opposite. I'm such a contrarian. If social media tells me to do something, I generally do the exact opposite just to annoy you. So take that, Twitter and Facebook. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Washington State, not D.C. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, and I'd like to tie in what the guy was talking about, the economics of sports a little bit, okay? In 1980-81, I've got a basketball digest going back to the 70s, and the salary cap for the NBA was $2.5 million per team for 11 players. Okay, John Wall is going to make almost as much as the off 23 teams himself. He's going to make 47 next year. Then total NBA in that year, 80-81, would have made like 57.5.
It's different. I got you.
Yeah, the first baseball game I went to was Cincinnati Reds versus the L.A. Dodgers, and the ticket was $3.50, okay? I remember Frank Robinson as a manager because I was born in 67, so I really didn't see him play. But his demeanor was superior as a manager, okay? And I think the best story I've heard about him was one he told about himself. His best claim to fame was he was the best defensive player on his high school basketball team. They included Bill Russell.
Yeah, Bill Russell actually sent a really kind tweet out. He posted one to talk about his friend Frank Robinson and how much that friendship meant to him. It was very poignant. And when he found out about the fact that he had passed away. And so, yeah, it's interesting to think about the relationships that some of these greats from different sports kind of crossed over, but were connected by some of the struggles and some of the challenges that they faced when they were, when they're in their primes and they were in the spotlight.
Coaching again about 7 years ago here at Washington State, and the schools were so small, the kids had to play all three sports. And we even have girls playing football, okay?
And even girls playing football.
Yes, and they play better than the boys.
Yeah,
it's no joke. And anyway, if you got any eligibility, come on out. We'll sign you up. You know what I'm saying? And long story short, these kids play like all different sports. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's really a good advantage. You know, playing all as many different sports as you can, and including like tennis and golf. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they do use different muscle groups and also challenge you in different ways. So I would agree with that.
Playing the one sport, you know. Well, anyway, I'll talk to y'all later, and y'all have a good weekend, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Roger. I missed most of that. It's got to be my own shortcoming. I want to mention this, too, about Bill Russell and Frank Robinson. Not only were they friends and they supported one another, but they also went to the same high school together. How about that? Can you imagine? But in Oakland, California, McClemens High School is where they went to. Please forgive me again if I said it wrong. But they both were members of the class there in Oakland, which is amazing to think about the legacies of the two of them leave behind. And I'm glad that we still have Bill Russell with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. George is listening in Los Angeles. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, listen, when I was a kid, we lived in Alaska, me and my family, and we used to go deer hunting, and we'd run the mountain lions all the time, but the key is to stay in a pack.
And when they Wait, come a pack of people you, or a pack of mountain
yes,
lions?
Yes, a pack okay. of people, yes, because they don't want to attack a pack. They'll attack usually alone, and they usually come up behind you.
Right.
I've seen mountain lions there that were up to 200 pounds. Trust me, he ran to a little juvenile, 80 pounds, 200-pound mountain lion would shred a human.
No, agreed. And that was what we had talked about this week, is that the fact that it was a younger mountain lion got a little overeager, messed with this human, and unfortunately the poor thing ended up paying for it with his life. But yeah, 80 pounder, we're talking about a teenager essentially who's not super smart yet.
You know what's the most amazing thing in the world, Amy?
What?
Is one time he came across a timber wolf fight on a mountain, and they're both about 200 pounds. That is a fight to the death, man.
A 200-pound wolf?
Timber wolf can get up to 200 pounds up in Alaska, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen such a thing. I mean, I've obviously seen wolves before. Growing up in New Hampshire and spending a lot of time up in the mountains and stuff, you would see wolves every now and then, not often. You'd see moose more than you would see wolves. Nobody messes with a moose. But I can't imagine a 200-pound wolf. That would be scary.
The timber wolves get 200 pounds. They have a foot-long wow. snout. They bite power 5 times of a pit bull. They can shred yeah. almost anything. And okay. they will fight a mountain lion to the death.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's interesting. So, in other words, don't ever go by yourself where there might be mountain lions, like this runner
was
doing.
You want to stay in a pack, definitely. Mm. At least have some large humans.
Large get up humans?
High. Yes.
Wait,
get up high.
What qualifies as a large human?
Some big adults, not just kids. You know what I mean? You got to get up high. You got to intimidate them. They'll back down.
I mean, I'm from an Italian family. We have some big adults. So I guess my brother, for instance, 6'5", he's a big adult. Would that qualify?
Yes, and you definitely okay. want to have a weapon. You don't want to shoot him, but you have to if you don't have a choice. But that's the last option.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, but I'm not going to be running with a weapon anytime soon. I'm just going to stay out of the way of the mountain lions and let them live their life. Thank you, George. I appreciate the phone call.
Take care.
Isn't that the same thing? I know it is. I'm not really. This is a rhetorical question. We've had coyotes in my neighborhood, which is crazy, right? I live in New Jersey off a major highway, and we have coyotes that'll walk down the middle of the streets. And we've also had bears, multiple bears in my neighborhood. When they get hungry, they start looking for food. So what I always hear about coyotes is, because I have a dog, and while my dog is 75 pounds, the fact is if you get separated from your dog, or, you know, you're if it's a smaller dog, especially if you're not with them all the time, that coyotes are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to isolate an animal, and then, you know, they will kind of chase it toward the pack that's waiting somewhere and lurking. Great. Okay, well, now I'm never leaving my house again after dark and without a weapon. I don't have a weapon. I guess I could take a golf club. What do you think? Just smack the... Actually, you know what I take out when I go? Because we have skunks and, as I mentioned, bears and sometimes coyote in the neighborhood. Not often, but every now and then. I have one of those massive mag lights. You know, the same flashlights that police officers, law enforcement use. It's extremely heavy. If I ever had a chance to hit somebody upside the head with it, in fact, not that I would run with it, but I think the mountain lion would probably suffer quite a knock on his noggin. Mag lights. That's my weapon of choice right there. All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to spend some time in Toronto and get reaction from Raptors country, where you don't want to battle a raptor either, where they make a move for all-star Marc Gasol, and they try to bolster their chances at winning the East and getting to the NBA Finals this season. So that's coming up in 20 minutes, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Once I turn on the radio, I'm ready to roll, ready to roll.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
I've never been on the radio, so this is new to me, but I always listen to you when I get off work.
Cool.
Oh, my goodness. You're so on right now. You're so on. You stay on.
Thank you.
Don't stop what you're doing.
Hey.
Hi.
You are a superhero of the sports world. You have a very inspiring show.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show, and you have a great night.
Thanks, Taylor. I appreciate you tuning in Houston, home of my mama.
Hello, Amy. I just wanted to say, in my humble opinion, you're one of the best to ever do it.
Thanks.
So positive and happy, and it makes my life happier.
Well, I appreciate it. I try.
Feel like a heart to get started when I'm driving, turning every head. Hell, I ain't even trying.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Call me old school, but hey, I'm a 90s baby.
I'll just fess up. It was a peanut butter and jelly and lime chips kind of night for dinner. Oh, gosh. I'm supposed to be staying healthy and continuing to lose weight. I'm actually almost halfway to my goal. Almost halfway. Now, this wasn't a New Year's resolution. This started back in October. But training for another half marathon and trying to stay super healthy and be smart about what I eat. And the candy dish that's sitting on my dining room table. It's the incentive. It's all about the willpower and the self-control. Can't have chocolate unless I work out. And so that seems to be the key to get me on the bike or getting me outside to run or going to yoga class or whatever. So, the peanut butter and jelly and the lime chips were born out of desperation. It was just one of those kind of days. A nap here, a nap there, an article here, an expense report there. So I'm ready for the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. I knew it. I knew the second I mentioned LOL that there'd be a lot of people who are either telling me that they'll try to refrain from using LOL in tweets and Facebook posts or just laughing at me, there's no way they're going to stop doing it. It's fine. You're not my pet peeve. Those three little letters are my pet peeve. Red is in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Thanks for taking my call, Amy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most pleasurable nights that I not listen to your show, because it's very refreshing for you to put Frank Robinson's life in context in depth that you did. I tell you what, if I was a family member of his, I would be very proud.
Thank you, sir.
His name come over the radio tonight. And I guess that's kudos to you and your programmers. Y'all done a great job. You know, hey, a mountain lion can't kill a man if he got arms. Y'all have a great night.
Thank you, Reg. I wasn't expecting that segue from Frank Robinson to, I believe Red said, a mountain lion can't kill a man if he's got arms. I'm thinking about that. Give me a second.
It doesn't work out.
What if the mountain lion goes for the jugular? And I don't know if an 80-pound juvenile mountain lion knows to go for a jugular, but I kind of think it's instinctual.
Snakes don't have arms or legs, and they can still kill you.
Ryan, what will we do without you? That is a good point. I have a couple of really scary snake stories, too, which I will not share on the air, but you're right. You were respectful of that little rattle, regardless of whether or not the snake has arms. You deserve a raise just for that point alone. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the big news at the NBA trade deadline is that Anthony Davis does not move, and he will play in a Pelicans uniform for the rest of the year. And yes, he will actually play. The organization has indicated that he will suit up and get out there on the court because he wants to play. We do have both of the teams with 40 wins make moves at the trade deadline. And then if you think about the other team in the East that made a trade for the present and not the future, you've got Toronto and Milwaukee and also Philadelphia. Right now, those are three of your top five teams in the Eastern Conference. That's for the here and now. For the most part, though, I felt like these were salary cap clearing moves or moves around the NBA to position a team to acquire players in the offseason. So it was kind of an odd trade deadline, but Toronto is all in. We heard from Masai Ujiri, the general manager, earlier, and coming up, we'll spend some time getting reaction from our affiliate north of the border, the Fan 590, when Greg Brady joins us. So that's straight ahead. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. And yes, as our last caller mentioned, the great Frank Robinson passed away at the age of 83 on Thursday as well. And so all of baseball is mourning him.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back to Gasol, open left wing three, bring it up, put three on the board, maybe wow. The shot that puts the lights out on Indiana.
There's a lot of positives with a guy like Gasol, right? And I think most of them come with being battle tested, right? I think we all know that those playoffs can get wild and woolly, and he's a guy that's been through them deep many times.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Nick Nurse, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, who gets a new piece to bolster their run in the East. It's Marc Gasol, an all-star big man who joins the team. And they don't have to give up a whole lot for him. Eric Hasseltine with the call on the Grizzlies radio network. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and as well in Toronto on the Fan 590. It's our affiliate north of the border. And Greg Brady is getting ready to do the AM drive show there in Toronto and joins us now. So funny, I just checked your Twitter and the last thing that you tweeted was Raptors flat as a pancake down 11 to the Hawks after the first quarter. Let me guess, you went to bed after that, Greg.
No, I stayed up. I should have kept people involved. It felt like people might be watching or listening, and they didn't need my involvement after that. But did I get freezing cold takes for that? I could have, I guess.
No, I hate that. So yes, they obviously come back from being down almost 20 in the first half, and they win this game. They get career highs from both Fred VanVleet as well as Siakam, and they also acquire Marc Gasol. It feels like it's all sunshine and roses for the Raptors right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, but an hour before the game, we find out Kawhi Leonard's not playing, and it's not just the load management, which, you know, as you know, Amy, that's a term that's been invented in the last 10 months. It was about washers and dryers in the previous decades, but now it's about Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Okay. But, yeah, I thought that was an important win. And for seeding alone, I don't think people are going to have this both ways, because Kawhi sits sort of when the team tells him to or when he wants to or a combination of both, but they're pretty far behind the Bucks in terms of losses. And I'm looking at losses because you see the East, how top-heavy it is. There's just going to be a steady diet of Chicago's and Orlando's and Detroit's and the rest of the way. It's almost all in-conference games. And kind of beating Atlanta on the road, that matters. I think this Raptors team, Amy, wants to avoid the Celtics no matter what in the second round. I think any East team would want to avoid the Celtics in the second round. Okay, it's not LeBron, but there's going to be two really disappointed East teams when they don't make the conference finals this year. And when's the last time we could say that?
How do you feel like Marc Gasol helps?
Yeah. The only thing out of that trade that you mentioned they didn't give up very much that might pop is DeLon Wright. He might be a starting point guard in the league, and he might be a good one. We're in a really good era of point guards, and he's 6'5", and he's got length, he's fast. I kind of prefer him sometimes over Fred VanVleet, who's a little more stocky, barely 6 feet tall, and is prone to the odd turnover. But Valanciunas compared to Gasol, he can't shoot like Mark. He can't defend like Mark. He was a loyal guy here for a lot of bad years and has gotten into some playoff games. But, you know, who is he going to push out of the starting lineup? Not Serge Ibaka, probably not even Pascal Siakam. And this is a nice problem to have now. There's six players. Ibaka might go to the bench for Gasol or Siakam. I don't know how you don't want Siakam in there, like with the game he had last night. But these are good problems to have if you're a playoff team.
For sure. What do you think is the reaction around Kyle Lowry, not just from him, from the team, but also fans, the fact that he was talking about potentially getting traded? There was talk that he could get moved, but he doesn't.
He's got the proverbial chip on his shoulder. A lot of really good NBA players do. I think he will like this trade. I think he's got to have bought in by now. It crushed him that they traded DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
They traded him, and I suppose the way they traded him. I think he's well aware. It's not a certainty, but a strong likelihood. He's here as a Raptor next year, and Kawhi Leonard isn't. I think he knows that. But he knows he's got some links with Gasol from Memphis. I think there's a sense with Lowry that he just wants to get this done. He knows this can be no one's going to feel empathy for him. He makes $30 million, so it's a cold, brutal business. So it is. But I think he has to believe his team's better 24 hours later. Everybody does.
Greg Brady is getting set for the morning drive show on our affiliate in Toronto. The Fan 590 starts early East Coast time, 5:30 to 9. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Raptors went through some changes after that third consecutive playoff loss to the Cavaliers, but not a ton. I mean, you mentioned DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, they have a new head coach. What do you feel like has changed in terms of the culture of this team now that they're, you know, inside of 30 games from the end of the season?
Yeah, I don't know how they could. That's a good question. I don't know how they could be more driven than they were last year, but I think there won't be the the angst of running into LeBron again. They were 2-12 in 14 playoff games against Cleveland. It's weird. Marc Gasol's Memphis Grizzlies were 2-12 against San Antonio in the playoffs. Like, that was always the hurdle of the Grizzlies, even with good teams, with Connelly and Mark and Zach Randolph when he was good there. They couldn't get over the Spurs hump. So there's no LeBron anymore. It feels more wide open. They played really well against the 76ers. I think they have to be rooting for some chaos with Boston. I think they're relieved Boston didn't make the Anthony Davis trade, but they also know that this is just an all-in year this year. But look at the Bucks; they feel that way too. Everyone's saying in Toronto, Amy, well, okay, but you're not going to beat the Warriors. They want to, but they also know that it's a massively successful season to play in the NBA Finals. It might not have been for the LeBron teams anymore, but it would be for the Milwaukee Bucks. When's the last time Milwaukee was on such a massive stage nationally and internationally? So they think they've got as good a chance as any to get there, and I don't think they would have felt that last year against LeBron.
Okay, I just need to reiterate the exchange that we just had. So I asked you, change of head coach, you bring in Kawhi, obviously, you know, the DeMar DeRozan piece changes, now Marc Gasol, and I say, what's different about the culture? And you tell me there's no more LeBron in the East. Is it really that simple?
Yes. He was, the hashtag LeBronto, he owned the city. People were you know, putting him in mayor's robes after game four and after game two of the sweep last year. They had two games they could have won, and they got two games they just got sawed down in. I'm not sure I would have made this trade. I might have said that the last time I talked to you. I didn't like the trade. I think you traded 7 or 8 years of a committed DeMar DeRozan who really wanted to be, a one franchise player, but their bosses didn't think that they could. You know, they could win the East without going after a transcendent player in Kawhi Leonard. I don't think the recruitment process has been anything. It was like 3 degrees here last week, and you know, Kawhi Leonard's rolling his eyes. I think we know Kawhi and the Clippers are probably there's probably a little bit of a coupling that is going to happen in the summer, but fans just have to enjoy that 1 year. Every franchise sometimes puts together a goal for a year, and this is Toronto's.
Okay, so there's not a whole lot of hope then that Kawhi is going to stick around?
I don't feel it. I mean, if there's a 5% chance of something, here's what I'd say. DeMar DeRozan was sort of flagged for the Lakers in his free agent year 3 years ago, just after Kobe Bryant retired. He's from Compton, went to USC, has great ties out there. He stayed. I don't know, but Kawhi Leonard is, no one can read him. You'd be surprised. Everybody goes up to Danny Green and asks Danny Green, because he played with him in San Antonio, what's Kawhi thinking about this? What's Kawhi think about the weather? Is Kawhi going to go to the All-Star game? Danny Green's getting a little tired of it. We're just not sure who this guy is.
For sure. Okay, well, that's exciting, the fact that at least LeBron is not in the East anymore. So how does the excitement over the Raptors compare to the Maple Leafs, who right now have got the second highest point total in the East?
Yeah, if you like both teams similarly, you're in. You're hoping it's a big spring. On my show last year, we did what's the amount of home games that satisfies you, and it was the playoffs, and it was in well into the double digits, 12,
okay.
13, 14 combined. I think they ended up with, if I do the math really quick, they had 7. It was a bit disappointing. The Leafs crashed out to the Bruins. The Raptors got through a kind of a pedestrian Wizards team and then swept by the Cavs. It's got to be better this year. They both put a lot more investment and infrastructure in. The Leafs, I would say, tanked somewhat for about a year and a half to make sure they got some real good players, but they've had buy-in from some free agents. I know everyone would go, oh, it's such a hockey city. The Raptors have a great culture here. They really do. I grew up 2 hours from here. Everyone said, Toronto's not a good basketball town. I'm like, how would you know? They never win. They haven't won a playoff round. That was a 7-game series ever. They won a best of 5 when Vince Carter was here against the Knicks. That was it for about 18 years.
Oh, and the last 3 years haven't done anything to diminish. It's really just about LeBron's gone now. We believe this team can win without LeBron in the East.
There is no, that's that. But I don't think, here's what people didn't count on in Toronto. The Bucks. I think the Bucks now are what the Raptors were a couple years ago. I hear Bucks fans say, "Where's our respect? We're first in the conference," and everyone's saying, "You're good, but you'll get your respect when you win a round or two." Giannis has not been out of the first round in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get there. It's a little like, to me, it's a little like Kevin Garnett in Minnesota. There was eventually a breakthrough for him with the T-Wolves. No matter who they put around him, They'd lose to the Lakers. They'd lose to the Spurs. I think people are a little aghast that Milwaukee's really good. I think, Amy, people thought it would be Toronto and Boston, and that's it. And the Sixers have joined the arms race, and the Bucks are way, way better than anybody thought they'd be 6-7 months ago.
All right, most importantly, is Kawhi Leonard still laughing? That should be a key to how things are going in Toronto.
I saw him smile. I saw a grin. It might have been a grimace or a grin.
It might have been a smirk.
Grimace sometimes.
No, I think a smirk. It could have been a smirk. We missed that laugh. I don't know if he'll ever laugh again, though, the way that it set the world on fire. I'm not sure. If I were Kawhi Leonard and my laughs made ripple effects all over the internet, like across the world, I don't know that I would ever laugh in public again.
Yeah, if the Clippers give him $218 million for 7 years in the summer, I think you owe the world another laugh. Our planet could use it. I would give one good laugh for $218 million. You would too.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh too much. Like, compared to Kawhi Leonard, I'm the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, if you can't laugh, what's the point of all of this? All right, you can. I just followed you on Twitter. I don't know why I hadn't followed you before. That is my faux pas, but I just did, from the Fan 590, which is our affiliate in Toronto. Greg Brady getting set for hours of laughter and scintillating sports talk. By the way,
I promise you from now on, Raptors tweets in the second, third, and
in the third, the fourth quarter.
I'll leave you hanging thinking the Hawks won by 30 points. They don't do that to anybody.
What, by the way, is New Wave Sports Talk? That's what your Twitter says. How would you define your show?
Oh, no, there should be a separation there. That's probably New Wave music.
Oh.
That's probably, like, your Depeche Mode, Amy, your New Orders, your Duran Duran. That's the second wave of the British invasion. I don't go back to the Dave Clark Five or anything. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh. I recognize two of those names, maybe. All right, Greg, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for making me laugh.
What a pleasure. Thanks, Amy. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank you. Have a great show yourself. So he's a part of the AM drive in Toronto. Where is Kawhi's laugh? I feel like if Kawhi is laughing, then we will know that things are going right with the Raptors, even if we have to fabricate it. But I remember that I don't think it was someone that we talked to in Toronto, but it was somebody else that we talked to about the NBA who said that that was the last time that Kawhi was ever going to laugh. But the thing is, we have it on tape, and so it's immortal. Who doesn't need that as we head into the weekend? That is fantastic. I feel as though when Kawhi Leonard found out that Mark Gasol was getting traded to the team and they'd added an all-star big man, that he was laughing away, even privately. We know he was. Wait, do you think it'll ever get old? At some point, do you think it will not be funny? Dave is like vociferously shaking his head back and forth. No, I don't think so either. The fact that you've got the three major deals to boost the rosters right now, all coming in the Eastern Conference, is important. In the West, okay, the Rockets added Iman Shumpert. You had a couple of players that Reggie Bullock goes to the Lakers, but I don't think you can honestly believe that the Lakers are a championship contender. Anthony Davis might have helped. I thought the debate that I heard over the last couple of days about whether or not Anthony Davis and LeBron James could beat the Warriors. I mean, just the whole discussion about whether or not those two guys were enough to beat a roster of five All-Stars, I thought was fascinating. And the way that people were arguing about it so diligently. And Anthony Davis stays with the Pelicans, so it becomes a moot point. But we do spend a lot of time arguing about these things before they happen. And so the Lakers are, I'm not even sure if they're a playoff team. Forget being a contender. So in the West, it's Denver, it's Oklahoma City, it's the Warriors. And then you've got this group of teams in the East that decided that they would make a push.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.